Al asks who, the answer is always him. It's time for the most interesting man in the world, Fish Talk with the Duck.
Welcome back to the program. Almost missed my curtain call now, huh?
I never seen you run so fast in my life.
I know. Look at me. All excited about this wonderful weather and I'm going out to a park.
Yes. Me.
Not traveling to a park, just going to a park.
Yeah.
Because we can't travel to it. But we can, sir, go to it. I don't know where I was going with that. Anyways, that wonderful little intro is because we have the man in the house. We call him the Doc. His name is Gord Peiser. He is the award-winning columnist and fishing editor for Outdoor Canada magazine. Only the best coast-to-coast publication of its kind in the world, anywhere. And we have it right here in Canada. If you don't have a subscription, go to it now, outdoorcanada.ca. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Ange.
I'm a little pumped this morning. It's because I just ran into the booth. That's why. Oh, how's it looking up north?
Magnificent. It's going to be low 20s today, 26 by Tuesday, and every day until a week from now, well above 20.
Well above 20. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's just gorgeous. The kids were in shorts yesterday. And it's opening walleye here in the north, the third week of May. Third weekend, the long weekend is always opening day. So getting ready to go walleye fishing.
That's right. I keep forgetting you guys do have a short little closure, right? As soon as the ice goes out type of thing?
1 month from April 15th to the third Saturday in May.
Wow. I don't think we talked last week. How did you enjoy the live blog thing that we did with you?
Oh, I love that, Ange. It was great fun. And, you know, I used to fly down and do a lot of the Bassmaster tournaments on the co-angler side. And that's how I generated a lot of stories, fishing with the different pros and asking questions. And so when you do the live blogs, you see what folks are really, really, really interested in. Sometimes you can predict what the interest is, but other times the questions are in a different area or a different subject. And it was really, really cool. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun with it. Unfortunately, as soon as this pandemic is over, obviously we're going to have to curtail that. But in the meantime, we got to get back to work, in other words, Gordy.
Yeah, no, but what you could do, Ange, maybe, you know, go on evenings, one evening a month or whatever.
Yeah.
But
again,
it allows folks, we were able to do things that we weren't able to do or aren't able to do other times. And I mean, if that takes 5 minutes or 10 minutes to talk about a certain subject, you do it. And then folks can write in and say, you know, but here's a follow-up question.
You know, we in the media, you, ourselves, whether it's television, print, radio, one of the problems that we have, and that's why this new form of communication is working so well for the fishing community, one of the problems we have, certainly in television, and you in writing, the same thing, is that there is such a time lapse between when the story is originally fostered and when the audience gets a chance to consume it. The time lag could be a year.
Yes. You know,
up to a year. And what's cool about this thing is that it's live. It's now.
Yes.
You know, it's to me, I call it touchy-feely because it's happening right now. And that's really important, I think, to all of us in the outdoor community.
Yeah, you know, if someone goes out and tries something or they've read something and they can't quite understand what it is, or, you know, they're working on tackle, they can say, hey, here's what I'm doing. Help me through this. And I truly, truly enjoyed it. I just thought it was, I mean, what were we supposed to do, an hour? And I think we almost went 2.5 hours long.
And could have done another hour, quite honestly. You know, but we didn't even touch some of the stuff that we had notes for. But
well, I know we always say on the air we could hear Gord just read the back of a cereal box with the ingredients.
Exactly. And it would be just as effective.
Exactly.
Right? So yesterday we had an interesting character on. I don't know whether you got a chance to catch it or not, but we had Daryl Kronze on.
I did not hear Daryl, but I can just imagine as soon as you say Kronze.
It was a refreshing couple of hours, to be honest with you, a different side of Daryl. But some really interesting perspectives on the future of fishing, which I really enjoyed talking to him about that. But nonetheless, it allows people to see a different side of all the folks in the industry. And I think that's very cool. Very cool.
Talk about a different side, Ange, here it is, the third Saturday in May, and with the lockdown and the virus, and opening day here in Kenora, we have two of the biggest bait dealers. In fact, one of the largest fly-in because of the huge number of tourist resorts on the lake, Charlebois. It's a fly-in. They use airplanes, actually, and they access all the remote lakes, have traps on them. They doubled last year's minnow sales yesterday, and they last night had almost run out of bait.
So now, does that mean more local people are getting out? Does that mean more tourists are coming in? What does that mean?
Mostly, I do mostly locals, I'm sure, but I'm amazed that they doubled last year's sales. So, I mean, if you're locked down, and we do have lots of access points in the area, and a lot of local folks in Kenora, believe it or not, a lot of local Kenora folks have cottages on the lake, and many have a better cottage, a much more elaborate cottage, actually, than their house in town, and they either boat down to it, or in the summer or the winter they snow machine, and so both the local cottage crowd and the local residents. But it just tells you how many people are going to get out today. They doubled last year's sales, almost ran out of bait.
Maybe because I'm the eternal optimist, okay, but I really think that in most cases there are a few that don't really fall into the sky. But I think in most cases, our economy is going to come back, and it's going to come back better than ever. And it's going to be a very robust restart, in my opinion, because people are just going to say the hell with it. I want to get out. I want to go fishing, or I want to buy that new car, or I want to, you know what I'm saying? I really believe we're going to come back. Yeah.
I see GM, CFO for General Motors, the sales in the last few days or the last week or two were shockingly surprising to the positive. And I agree with you, Ange. If you wanted that rod and reel or that sonar unit or that kicker motor or that boat, go get it.
Absolutely. And I think it's going to happen. There's an interesting story that you want to share with us about something you saw in the forest this past weekend.
Wow, on Wednesday, it was really cool. Liam and I were out. We were actually out northern fishing for northerns and smallmouth, and came around a corner between two islands.
By the way, Gord, before I let you go any further, just clarify that, because I'm sure there's a lot of people right now saying, did he just say he's fishing smallmouth? So
from December 31st until July 1st, it's catch and release season. I wish we didn't. I have to be honest, and I do not fish for them on the beds, regardless. But yes, we do have that season that allows you to fish for them. So we were out catching, and they were still deep. They're out on 30 feet, and we were throwing Alabama umbrella rigs, just having a ball. We got probably 40 to 50 pike and smallmouth, but. And as we're coming between two islands, and we come around these two islands, I look on shore, and I, oh, wow, there's a bear, a black bear, big black bear. And then I look down on the shore, and there was a cub. And I swear you could have put the cub in your hand And I can't believe how far it had swam between these two islands. And anyway, the sow walked up to the, she kind of walked slowly up to the top, and it kept looking up, and then it would wobble, literally wobble, to get to try and follow her, maybe 50 feet, 60 feet behind. And then she turned when she got to the top of the hill. We never got out of the boat, and we didn't come too close to the island. She got to the top of the hill, and she turned and went up on just her back two legs.
Oh, boy.
And she looked at us the entire time that little cub walked up the hill. And I swear, if we'd have touched shore, she'd have come charging down.
Oh, boy. What a great moment that is, though, huh? When you know.
Unbelievable.
Right? You knew this was happening. In other words, you knew exactly what that bear was thinking and what could happen if you stepped out of that boat. But the minute, like when you're experiencing it, it has such an incredible sensation, that goes through your body. It's just fantastic.
It really does, Angie. The thing that shocked me, though, was the sow. Now, I'm sure when we see cubs following sows in the bush, they look much bigger when they get wet. But I'll guarantee it didn't weigh 5-7 pounds. I posted a couple of pics that we took on my Facebook page. If folks go there, they can see it. But it's so small. I can't believe it swam the distance it swam between two islands. Yeah. And it just amazing. But the other thing, of course, what it suggests to us, when you go in the bush, especially this time of year, you got to be careful. And Liam and I'll trap leeches or minnows, or we'll go shed hunting for last year's antlers. This is the time of the year right now, Ange, when you're walking through the bush, make noise. Make noise before you start to go in. And we talk pretty loudly when we're in the bush, and for that very reason. I'll tell you what, if anyone had got between that sow and this cub, you were in trouble.
Yeah, that could have been a disaster, an absolute disaster. You know, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I had Minister Yurick on the program earlier on talking to us about the opening of parks yesterday. I guess officially everything is open, not necessarily for camping, but certainly for non-vehicle use of all of our parks in the province. And you bring up a good point. If you are going to go to a park for a hike, like Gord said, make a lot of noise, because it just dawned on me there's been no traffic in these parks at all. Bears that have come out of hibernation, especially with cubs, have had the parks to themselves. And now all of a sudden you go walking quietly through the trails. Man, good observation, Gord.
You know, I saw Ange down on the Toronto waterfront. There's a fox and her litter, and it's literally on the boardwalk for the very reason you said. Folks haven't been out. It's been really quiet, and wildlife adapts so quickly. And I'm sure there was maybe three cars in the parking lot, three other tow vehicles and boats, which isn't very much at this time of year. So you're absolutely right. That bear has not seen anyone this year, and that's totally abnormal for the spring. And you want to. The other thing, Ontario has a very, very good bear population, very high. And we won't even get into the canceling of the spring bear hunt. They've become accustomed, and you got to be a little more careful with bears than we ever have in the past.
We've broached this subject on several occasions in the last few years about that, that bear, not just bears, but animals adapt much quicker, probably, than humans in most cases. And you're absolutely right. Bears especially. I mean, they're not just coming out of the woods because we're encroaching on their territory. They're coming out of the woods because they sense that it's okay. You know what I mean? It's fine. It's perfectly fine. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we need to be aware of those factors, don't we?
And this isn't Disneyland. This isn't Disney. These are wild animals, and this was a 350 pound sow,
wow.
And she will do anything to protect that cub. And you know, in the past, the spring bear hunt, whether you agreed with it or didn't, but there's nobody hunting this year. The spring bear hunt, for all intents and purposes, has been canceled because of the lockdown, and. Boy, I have a very good friend. He used to be my wildlife biologist here in Kenora, and he says he will not go in the bush these days without bear spray.
That bad, huh? Holy man.
Or at least that risky.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned you were out fishing. What sort of results? Anything good?
Yeah, really good, Angie. It was, I wouldn't say flat calm, but just that nice ripple. And my grandson, Liam, just loves Alabama rigs, umbrella rigs. And anytime he gets a chance to throw them, this is the time, early spring, clear water, cold water. That's when umbrella rigs reign supreme. So he was throwing them, and he got me to put my rod down and start throwing an umbrella rig as well. And while the season doesn't open until today for walleyes, we crushed the walleyes by accident throwing Alabama rigs. The northern pike, everybody hears these things about, well, that's a bass technique. Well, tell it to the fish. The umbrella rigs for pike is a deadly, deadly presentation.
And I got to be honest with you, I've tried it a couple of times, but not having confidence in it, I quickly put it away too. And that's probably a mistake by the sounds of it. I'm just not
in spring and fall, Ange, or when the water's cold, when the water's in the 40s, they work well still in the 50s. When in the fall, I like it when it goes from 60 to 59. Once you get into the 50s, it gets really good. Once it gets into the 40s, maybe the deadliest smallmouth northern pike presentation going in clear, cold water.
Tell folks what it is before you do that.
An umbrella rig, we're allowed four hooks in Ontario. So an umbrella rig, the reason it's called an umbrella rig, if you took the fabric off an umbrella, the frame actually, that's what the lure looks like. So there's four wires spread out, and on the end of each one of those four wires, you can put a jig and a swim bait. And Liam's little secret, it works so well. You put heavier, the 3/8 ounce jigs on the bottom two, and lighter jigs, 1/16 on the top two, balances it perfectly. One of your four put on a slightly different color bait, so you have the exact same swim baits on all four, but one of them just a little bit different color, and it stands out, and you give them four options. It looks like a school of minnows. You wonder, why in the world would anything ever hit it with all those wires, but all they see is that school of minnows, and they just ram it.
There you go. That was worth the price of admission once again. Gordy, thank you very much, my friend.
Hey, have a great long weekend, guys.
You too. You take care.
Be good.
Gord Peiser, The Doc, Outdoor Canada Magazine, having a wonderful time up north, as per usual. That's it. Stephen, thank you very much, my friend. We will talk to you again.
Yes.
Don't be a stranger. We will stay in touch. All right, that's it, folks. On behalf of the entire team, Stephen Labadie, Sarah, I'm Angelo Bio. Have a great long weekend. Get out, run, walk, whatever you want to do. Talk to you next week.
Bye, everyone.